01. Good morning, Lulawet, and welcome to another day of live broadcasting here on CHLS 100.5 FM. My name is Jeff O'Kelly. This program is Snooze Button, and I'll be with you until 9 o'clock. We started with music by Franz Schubert. That was the second movement, Allegretto, that comes from his Symphony No. 3 in D major. In my opinion, that piece is just a wonderful minor miracle from Schubert's relative youth. He was 18 years old when he wrote it. I think that that can match, just for sheer beauty and elegance, anything that Mozart wrote. It may not have the same grandeur or complexity as Mozart, but it's just so incredibly beautiful. Recording with the National Arts Center Orchestra there, and the conductor was Pinchas Zukerman. We'll come back and hear them in the third movement, the minuet that comes from that symphony, but right now it's time for weather and road reports. Once again, the Environment Canada webpage here is showing 0.2 millimeters of precipitation for yesterday, and I'm just forced to assume that their instrumentation is somewhere very different from me, because I don't recall any, but there could have been some just after midnight. Obviously, it's a very small amount. The low yesterday was minus 1.4. The high made it to 9.7 as of, let's see if we've got an updated 8 a.m. temperature here. As of 8 a.m., the temperature is 0.4. Environment Canada says mainly cloudy today, a 40% chance of showers this afternoon, wind from the south at 20 kilometers per hour, and the high supposedly reaching 11. I think that's a little cooler than they were originally predicting. Tonight, mainly cloudy, 40% chance of showers, snow level lowering to 700 meters before morning, wind from the south at 20 kilometers per hour, becoming light this evening, and a low tonight of plus 3. Tomorrow, cloudy with a mixture of sun and cloud late in the afternoon, a high of 10. A little bit of cooling as we get into the weekend, but not that much. Saturday, a mixture of sun and cloud, a low of plus 2, a high of 6. Sunday, sunny with a low of minus 3, but a high of plus 7. And then it looks like we're back to slightly warmer temperatures when we start next week. Monday, sunny with a low of 0 and a high of 11. All of those temperatures staying considerably above 3 to 4 degrees, at least above what Environment Canada says is normal for this time of month. Taking a look at conditions across the country and around the province, wow, once again, some very chilly temperatures in certain places. Back east, things are nasty, and apparently they've got more cold weather coming, and also they've just had unbelievable amounts of snowfall. You can just do any kind of a web search for snow Canada 2015 pictures, and you will find tons and tons of stuff. There was a feature on BuzzFeed this morning that had 25 or so pictures that were really remarkable. Anyway, let's start in, who have I not done? Charlottetown, we have not done in a while. Minus 4, mostly cloudy there. Montreal, light snow and minus 8. In Toronto, it is minus 18. Things really nasty around the Great Lakes. I'll just mention Thunder Bay, sunny, but minus 28 degrees there. Iqaluit, minus 30 with ice crystals. Winnipeg is sunny and minus 27. In Saskatoon, it's actually surprisingly comfortable at minus 10 with light snow. Yellowknife, light snow and minus 16, and then you get into Alberta, and boy, they must just be basking in this. Edmonton, 5 degrees and sunny. Calgary, mainly sunny and 0. Whitehorse, minus 2 with light snow. Prince George, again, above 0, cloudy and plus 2. And a little closer to home, Clinton, cloudy and minus 4. Hope, 8 degrees and cloudy. Kamloops, mostly cloudy and minus 3. 3 degrees in Pemberton, and in Vancouver, it is mostly cloudy and 7 degrees. And not too much here on the highways. Let's see, Highway 1, there is still a reduced speed zone in effect between the Ferriby Tunnel and the Hell's Gate Airtram. That will continue until further notice. Reduce speed to 60 kilometers per hour and watch for fallen rock on the road. And the only other notes are for Highway 99. Highway 99 South, slippery sections between Lillooet and the Cane Creek Bridge. And Highway 99 North, slippery sections between Lillooet and the Hat Creek Corner. And that's it for weather and roads. So we will go back to Schubert. As I said, this symphony written when he was 18 years old. He showed extraordinary mastery of the orchestra and symphonic form already at this point. I think it's possible he may have been modeling this work on a particular symphony, either by Mozart or Haydn. Something makes me think the latter is a little bit more likely. It just has an extraordinary sense of poise and is really well balanced in all respects, all four movements together as a symphony. It just works extremely well. The first movement, which we don't have time for, starts with a slow introduction, which is a trick that Haydn often used much more often than Mozart did. And that's what makes me think that Schubert may have been modeling it on Haydn. That, plus the minuet that we're about to hear. And in the context of this minuet, I have to mention the O'Reilly test. The O'Reilly test is a way of determining, when you are listening to a minuet that was written in the 18th century, it's a way of determining the probability that that minuet was written by Haydn, if you don't know who the composer already was. It's not foolproof, doesn't work every single time, but it works a great deal of the time, probably 60 to 70% of the time, I think. So if you can fit the words, "Are you the O'Reilly who runs this hotel," to the first theme of a minuet, there's a good chance it's by Haydn. If you can't, it's probably, but not necessarily, by somebody else. Now, in this case, here's the symphony by Schubert, and it passes the O'Reilly test. So the main theme, I'm not going to sing it, but I'll give you the rhythm of it, and I'll put the words of the O'Reilly test to it so you can see how it works. "Are you the O'Reilly who runs this hotel?" And then that phrase repeats, but in a lower key. "Are you the O'Reilly who runs this hotel?" And that's the O'Reilly test. That's how it fits. One of these days I'm going to put together some clips from minuets both by Haydn and by other people and show you a better demonstration of how it works. Anyway, this is another really magnificent movement from the symphony by Schubert. Lots of nice little touches of humor in it. It has an absolutely gorgeous central trio section that features especially oboe and bassoon. Another little minor miracle from Schubert's pen here. Once again, the National Arts Center Orchestra, conducted by Pinchas Zukerman. Thank you. That was music by Franz Schubert. We've been listening to the third movement, the Minuet, that comes from his Symphony No. 3 in D major, a recording there with the National Arts Center Orchestra, and the conductor was Pinchas Zukerman. It is 8:17. Let me tell you what's coming up today on Radio Lillooet. Okay, today is Thursday. Got it. When Snooze Button wraps up, I'll leave you with music from the Jazz Blues Soul playlist. Later today, around 10-ish, I'll switch things up to Studio One in Lillooet Secondary School. Did some work up there. The students now have a functioning microphone, and so they were on the air a little bit yesterday, and will be so more as time goes on. Student broadcasters Brianna and Marissa can be heard between, I think, about 10:15 and 11:15. And then Raynell and Ashley from about 11:15 to 12:15. Those times vary from day to day because of the schedule at the school, but it's roughly those times. Then it's back to Studio 2 in the Rec Center for Jazz Blues, more music from the Jazz Blues Soul playlist. 3 o'clock is Democracy Now! That's followed by Bobcat Logic at 4 p.m. Music from the Rock Pop playlist after that, and as far as I know, there will be a live edition of Music for the Middle Ages with your hosts Jim and Aura tonight, and then an encore presentation of Wendy's Wonderland after that. Okay, that takes care of that. Let's see, news things. I just read on the CBC website about the owl that, this was, I think, a month or two ago, it apparently attacked a porcupine. Which was not a good thing. This was a great horned owl. And it got quills, many, many, many quills stuck in it. I think even one in its eye. Anyway, it was rescued and seems to be okay and is now has been safely released, I believe, back into the wild. Anyway, so stay away from the porcupines. Also interested to read the story about the bison that showed up at somebody's home in Ontario, Dryden, Ontario. There's a bison ranch down the road from them, and this was an escapee, but it showed up, and the people whose home where it showed up, they said that it scared the heck out of their cats. And I know if a bison showed up at my place, my cat would disappear under the bed and probably not come out for at least 48 hours, and it'd probably take something pretty tasty to tempt her out at that point. Okay, I don't think I have anything else intelligent to tell you. Not that any of that was particularly intelligent. So let's carry on with the music, and we're going to turn to some piano music here. This is partly by Giacomo Meyerbeer, partly by Franz Liszt. Giacomo Meyerbeer was a composer of operas in the 19th century, particularly operas that were performed in Paris. He was extraordinarily, or his operas were extraordinarily popular in his time. He became fabulously wealthy. Nowadays, his operas, although they are remembered and talked about and have been occasionally recorded, they're pretty rarely revived. There's been a bit of interest in some of them, starting in the probably latter half of the 20th century, and continuing on, but there's only maybe four or five of the operas that really get looked at very often. One of them is called La Prophète, and this is set during the religious wars of the 16th century in Germany and parts of the Holy Roman Empire. The story is far too complex to go into, and the opera ends with a castle being blown up. Don't know quite how they managed that on stage. Anyway, the third act of the opera contains a little bit of ballet music. And as a novelty, which is something that Meyerbeer liked to include in his operas and which the Parisian public absolutely loved, this is a ballet that is done in the plot of the opera. It is supposedly a ballet on ice skates. In the theater, it was actually a ballet on roller skates. And one can only imagine that the sound of this must have been just absolutely horrendous. So, like, it would have been very, very loud and probably drowned the orchestra out at times, but we do not have that difficulty here. Anyway, Franz Liszt made arrangements of, I think he made four arrangements of pieces, either three or four of pieces that come from Le Prophète by Meyerbeer. And one of them was an arrangement of the Skaters Ballet. I don't know how long it is in the original opera. I've never heard the full opera, but Liszt made quite a substantial piece out of it at about 13 and a half minutes. Anyway, the variety of textures that he comes up with here is just brilliant, and this is very glittery, showy music. There's nothing serious really here at all. But a great deal of fun and a superb challenge for pianists. Very, very few pianists include this in their, certainly in their concert repertoire, but this is the only recording of it I've ever run across by anybody. And this is pianist Leslie Howard, who has recorded all of the piano music of Franz Liszt. So here he is with Les Patineurs, as it's known, the skaters, from the opera La Prophète by Giacomo Meyerbeer, arranged by Franz Liszt. That was a mouthful. Thank you. Music by Franz Liszt, based on music by Giacomo Meyerbeer. We heard Les Patineurs, The Skaters. That's a transcription of ballet music that comes from the opera Le Prophète by Meyerbeer, and that arrangement, of course, by Franz Liszt, and we heard a recording with pianist Leslie Howard playing. It is 8:36, and I better bring you some public service announcements. I just had to correct a French article there. I used the masculine, or the feminine instead of the masculine there, and Le Prophète. I originally wrote La Prophète, and I should know better. All right, let's start with the pool schedule for today. When Snooze Button Wraps, no, that's the radio schedule. Later today, everyone welcome, 10:30 to 11:30 a.m. Lane swimming, 11:30 until 1. Everyone welcome, 3:30 till 5 p.m. Red Cross swimming lessons, 5 until 7 p.m. Lane swimming, 7 until 8 p.m. And then advanced kayaking class, 8 until 9 p.m. We are now on the second set of Red Cross swimming lessons. They will end March 12th, and a new set will start March 17, running to April 9, and there will be another set running from April 14 to May 7. If you want any information about that or would like to register, get in touch with the Rec Center at 256-7527. The Tsquilax, or Tsquilau First Nation, is giving notice of nominations and election of lands committee. Nominations will be February 21st from 1 until 2 p.m. in the basement of the band office. Election takes place March 28th, 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. in the basement of the band office. And if you have questions, get in touch with the office at 256-4204. The SLRD Board Committee of the Whole. I don't understand the terminology. I'm sure it's an official term that has to be used. Anyway, the 2015 Budget Committee of the Whole meeting of the Squamish-Lillooet Regional District will be held in the SLRD boardroom, unless indicated otherwise, located at 1350 Astor Street, Pemberton, and the meeting will be Thursday, February, or the meetings will be Thursday, February 26th at 10:30 a.m. and Thursday, March 19th at 10:30 a.m. And school district number 74 has some employment opportunities available. I'm not going to go into all the details, but if you check this week's Bridge River Lillooet News, you will find them listed there. There's no deadline for application listed here, but obviously probably the sooner the better. And it'll give you all the details in the Bridge River Lillooet News of who and where to submit a resume to. Also, a reminder that kindergarten registration is going on now. Tomorrow is the last day of that. It runs between the hours of 9 a.m. and 3 p.m. You need to be physically present for that. Children to be eligible for kindergarten must be 5 years old on or before December 31st of this year, and an original birth certificate, immunization records, and care card must be provided at the time of registration. If you'd like more information, you can get in touch with Cayouche Elementary at 256-4212 or George Murray Elementary at 256-7543. And that is all I've got for the public service announcements. So, I've been on this Baroque kick recently, and you have been hopefully benefiting from that or enjoying it. We're going to continue with that now. I think I've had something Baroque just about every single day that I've done a show for at least this week, last week, and maybe even much of the week before. We're going to listen to music by Italian composer and violinist Francesco Maria Veracini. He was born in 1690, so that makes him 5 years younger than Bach. Died in 1768. He came from a family of violinists and musicians, although curiously his father was not a violinist or a musician. His father was combined the jobs of pharmacist and undertaker, which is kind of I don't know if that's funny, ironic, or practical. It's some combination of those things anyway. Veracini received his first violin instruction from his uncle and went on to great things. He proved to be just an enormous talent on the instrument. For better or for worse, he also was well aware that he was an enormous talent on the instrument, and I gather he was something of a difficult man to work with at certain times. He did spend the earlier part of his life, of course, in Italy, where he was born. Later ended up in Dresden for a while at the court of the Elector of Dresden there. And that was where he started to run into some difficulties, especially having to do with the operas that he composed. And I think he just basically got into battles with a lot of the singers. And he ended up feeling the best thing for him to do was to flee Dresden. He went back to Italy for a while, spent some time in London, where he also enjoyed a fair degree of success. And then ended ultimately spent the latter years of his life in Italy. Seems to have calmed down somewhat by that time and was working more in church music, not so much composing as performing and directing and that sort of thing. But he left quite a bit of violin music, and there is a really kind of quirky quality to Veracini's music. He, as I say, he was a great virtuoso, and so he wrote music that allowed him to show that off. The virtuosity in his music, though, it's not stuff that can, unlike, say, Vivaldi, it's not a case of lengthy passages of technical, that require technical skill, long passages in 16th notes or something like that. With Veracini, there are little flurries and flourishes of virtuosity that he tacks on here and there fairly often throughout the pieces, and can do no matter whether the movement is fast or slow. He was also a real master of composing in counterpoint, and he shows that off a lot in some of his violin sonatas. We're going to listen to one of the set of sonatas, Opus 2, which were known as the Sonate Accademiche, academic sonatas. That academic does not so much mean that they are dry and dull and boring or anything like that. It refers specifically to the use of counterpoint in them. And it's quite brilliant and really very, I think he's kind of an original voice. So we're going to hear the violin sonata in D minor, Opus 2, number 7, and it's in four shortish movements. The whole thing is 15 minutes long. So there is an entrata, an allemande, a largo, a cantabile, and then a concluding giga or jig. This recording features Fabio Biondi on the violin with Maurizio Nadeo on cello and Rinaldo Alessandrini on harpsichord. Thank you.
Thank you.
That was music by Francesco Maria Veracini. We've been listening to a violin sonata in D minor, Opus 2, number 7, one of his 12 sonate academiche, so-called anyway. That was a recording with Fabio Biondi on the violin, Maurizio Nadeo on cello, Rinaldo Alessandrini on the harpsichord, and when I was introducing the piece, I neglected to mention Pascal Montailet. I neglected to mention him partly because I'm not sure how to say his name. It's the last name, the spelling is quite unusual. But even more because he is playing the theorbo. And when I was listening to this piece at home, which I did several times over the past few days, I couldn't tell if there was actually a theorbo playing. The theorbo is like a really large lute used as a bass instrument, a bass accompanying instrument. But listening to it with the headphones here, I could tell that indeed there was a theorbo playing. So now I have to mention Pascal Montailet. That is going to have to be it for today's edition of Snooze Button. But if you missed the weather at the top of the show, let me give you a quick recap. As of 8 a.m., the temperature was at 0.4. That's plus 0.4. Environment Canada says mainly cloudy today, a 40% chance of showers this afternoon, wind from the south at 20 kilometers per hour, and a high today of 11 degrees. Tonight, mainly cloudy, 40% chance of showers, snow level lowering to 700 meters before morning, wind from the south at 20, becoming light this evening, and a low tonight of plus 3. And tomorrow, cloudy, but becoming a mixture of sun and cloud late in the afternoon, and a high tomorrow of 10, so temperatures still staying several degrees above normal for this time of the year. That's it for me. Thanks very much for listening. I hope everybody has themselves a great day. Stay tuned, and I will leave you with music from the jazz blues soul playlist today.